Thanks.
Over the past year or so, they'd occasionally discussed the possibility that the original Warwag 1 might still be lumbering around Deathlands. Trader had gone sometime earlier, but the survivors might still be moving on.
Doubt that. Never get it into the middle of a honey ambush like Thisville.
Yeah, Thisville's not as good as I'd hoped. This place was triple fucked at Skydark. I'd hoped... I don't know what I hoped.
But he knew in his heart. It was all a part of the Grail he'd been seeking for years, perhaps for most of his life. What fascinated Ryan Cotter wasn't the present. The past was captivating because it linked directly to the future. The more you knew about the former, the better you could anticipate the latter. Since he'd met Christy Roth, and their destinies had become inextricably linked, Ryan had been looking for a special kind of tomorrow. But now it seemed as if Jack Lauren would be the only person who might have found that tomorrow. When he eventually found it for himself, Ryan felt that he'd know. Perhaps in some sun-bleached Arizona arroyo, a house surrounded with dogwoods, dripping with Spanish moss deep in the bayous. Or something preserved like a fly in amber in the untouched kernel of a great ville, a place like New York. But now that Ryan had toured the city and seen its total desolation, he knew that his dream wasn't going to be found here.
We might as well turn around. Trouble is, the weather's getting worse. Wouldn't fancy trying to get the raft across the river against it.
Can't argue with that. Like Trader used to say, living's mistakes you don't make. We could head west and find somewhere to shelter.
The night before last, the boy was saying that some of the old subway stations had been excavated and people used the tunnels. I just have this feeling about the kind of people who'd live down in there.
JB carried a selection of miniature maps, along with a micro magnifier, but none of them showed the rectangular web of streets that covered Manhattan Island. Though the sky had been dull, like cut slate, there was a momentary clearance of cloud. A watery sun peeked through, veiled by the light snow, producing a blurred rainbow that arched high over the island, to the north of them. It was a beautiful sight, and they all gazed at it until the curtain in the cloud slid shut again, and the sun vanished, dragging the rainbow behind it.
Is that a good omen?
Well, if we all live through the next 24 hours, then it's a good omen. If not, it wasn't.
In less than 15 minutes, the temperature had dropped like a pebble down a well. The wind freshened and strengthened, turning into a full-size gale. And it began to snow. First came a few ragged flakes, large and cottony, like the drifting feathers from a plucked goose. But the flakes grew smaller and more frequent. The day darkened, and visibility fell from 400 or 500 yards to less than 100 feet. Then to less than 50 feet as the blizzard sharpened its icy teeth. Ryan was aware that death wasn't all that far away if they didn't find themselves some cover, fast. Mildred was already shivering like an aspen, even though JB had insisted on her borrowing his coat. Her teeth were chattering, and her skin was turning gray.
Lover.
I know. Before it closed in, there seemed to be some slightly bigger ruins toward the west. Let's go. And just keep close together.
Now, it was the worst of times. The streets were uneven, snow covering the frozen puddles and making every step perilous. If it hadn't been for JB's steadying hand, Mildred would have fallen again and again. Doc was the worst affected, slipping and going down several times, ending up with a wrenched ankle and a limp. The layer of whiteness blurred everything. Ryan squinted against the wind, now beating in on the right side of his face. His eye was watering, and every time he opened his mouth to draw breath, the tiny flakes drove in between his cold lips. Everywhere he looked, there seemed nothing but piles of stone and metal, sometimes 50 or 60 feet high. Nothing but rubble, with no sign of any sort of entrance or shelter anywhere. They blindly staggered on, leaning against the wind like a quintet of ragged mimes. Ryan had a fine sense of spatial awareness, but even he began to lose touch with the realities of distance, time, and direction. In fact, they were blundering roughly toward the west. Some roads were totally blocked off by the ruined buildings, making it necessary to detour for 3 or 4 blocks to north or south. Because of the relentless wind, Ryan was tending to take the path of least resistance and move toward the south.
Go
Ryan!
What is it?
We gotta stop.
We're dead if we do.
JB was almost carrying Mildred.
Find the lee of those ruins. Get close and hope.
Ryan looked at him, reading the desperation in his old friend's eyes.
Yeah, let's go!
Christy was tugging at Ryan's sleeve, trying to attract his attention. She pointed with gloved fingers ahead of them into a wall of unrelieved whiteout.
I saw something.
What?
Big block. Just for a second.
Ryan relayed the message to JB and to Doc. The old man was also close to the end of his tether, staggering with exhaustion, ice crusting around his eyes and nose. Ryan led them in the direction Christy had shown him. And there it was, a massive looming block, hewn from concrete, towering several stories into the snow-filled sky. There were several entrances at street level, as well as numerous window holes blasted into its long flanks. They were all so near the limit that none of them bothered to think about danger. The only menace to them was the weather, and that was unrelenting. Ryan was first, leading them into a maze of narrow passages, blacker than midnight. The wind still howled like a demented banshee, but they were out of the snow. Ryan emerged into a wider space, with a faint light filtering from somewhere above him. JB was at his shoulder, one arm supporting the semi-conscious figure of Mildred. Christy and Doc hadn't appeared yet. Ryan and the others waited for several minutes, but there was no sign of them. And even though he retraced his steps into the whirling storm, Ryan could still find no trace of them. They'd simply vanished, as completely as though they'd been sucked off the face of the earth. The blow across the back of the neck that felled Christy also dragged Doc down with her. The thick cushion of red hair protected the woman from the worst of the impact, but it still knocked her to the cold stone floor, head spinning, barely conscious. She was just aware that she was being dragged away, gripped by the wrists, her heels dragging behind her. The vicious swing of the club that had been aimed at Doc missed him completely, as he was already falling on top of Christy. His senses had been numbed by the ferocious power of the storm, and he hardly even noticed he was suddenly lying on his side.
Help!
But Doc knew his weak cry wouldn't attract any attention over the vicious wind. He had just enough awareness to wriggle around and stuff his precious sword stick down his left leg, inside his breeches. Then he was being dragged like Christy from darkness into a deeper blackness. His nostrils could catch the stink of sweat, and he felt dry, distended fingers around his wrists. Christy, with her greater sensitivity, knew what had taken them. Her skin crawled at the feeling of the clawed hands holding her. Her sharp ears could catch the rustling of scaled flesh. They'd been captured by a large force of scalies. Maybe the gang Dredd had mentioned, with an almost superstitious awe.
Help me, Earth Mother.
Once the deadly combination of driving snow and a horrific windchill factor had been thwarted, Mildred began to recover. She sat pressed between Ryan and JB, all of them sharing the two men's coats. The storm seemed to be passing outside the cavernous building, and there were frail shafts of light appearing from high above them.
This must be some kind of warehouse or garage.
Garage?
No.
It was the first word Mildred had spoken since they'd all sat together. Her body still trembled, but her lips were returning to their normal color. She'd folded her hands inside her clothes, squeezing them to try to bring back circulation.
No?
Bus terminal.
Bus?
Buses. Big wags that carried a lot of people all at once.
Yeah, John. This is, it was called the Port Authority Bus Terminal and Air Trans Center. Means we're way over west, between 8th and 9th, fronting on 42nd.
How far from the river does that put us?
Close.
How far?
It's about 3 blocks.
A mile?
Not even that far.
Less than a mile. Fire blast! We were warned about the fucking scalies around these parts, and I brought us right to those rad-blasted sons of nuke suckers.
Where do you think they've gone?
If I had any idea, then we'd be moving after them. We don't know. The storm's passing, you're getting better. After the storm, we'll go take a look.
Christy was no lightweight, and it wasn't long before she was unceremoniously dumped, the fall jarring the base of her spine. She exaggerated how hurt she was, so that she could slide the silvered Heckler & Koch P7A-13 from its holster and stuff it into the small of her back under the jacket.
Get up or I'll kill ya!
Christy stood. Doc had also been dropped and was now dusting himself, standing in a curiously stiff-legged